that he made it down to the church today. Please help me welcome Christ Ladder Ministry Youth Pastor, Pastor Oluwatobi Ayeni.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm very, very excited to be here today. I don't know why, I just feel excited. Everybody looks so beautiful. Everyone looks so pretty. Let's have a round of applause for our youth already, though. What do you think? Did they do well this morning? Let me hear you. Did they do well this morning? You see, in the youth department, when I lead, I like to lead interactively, yeah? So I want to hear you respond to me when I ask you to respond, yeah? My youth, they already know. When I say 1, 2, 3, what do you say? 1, 2, 3? So the whole church, during this ministration, I need to know that you're there and you're alive and you're listening to me. So when I say 1, 2, 3, what do you say?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I don't know why, I'm just so excited. I'm so happy. You see the topic for today? We said understanding our identity and our purpose through Christ. 1, 2, 3?
Yeah.
Understanding our identity and our purpose through Christ. But in the ministration, when I was preparing, something just rose to me and I felt in myself that that's not the topic I want to use today. I want to change it. I want to reword it a little bit. And the way I reworded it, if you're taking your notes, if you have your phones out, I said, understand Christ and the rest will follow. Do you understand? Wasn't loud enough. I'm going to say it one more time because I don't think you understood. Understand Christ and the rest will follow.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now you're listening. Now you're warm. And the thing is, I'm not even going to start because normally when I start, even if you tune in on Tuesday mornings when I do, when we lead morning devotion, I like to start with dictionary definitions. That's before I even open the Bible for us to look into the Word of God. And that is with dictionary definitions, because I think it's so beautiful when you can read the dictionary definition of something and it points back to the Bible and it points back to spirituality. Because it means in our language, rooted in our language is the grace of God. Rooted in our language is the spirit and divine nature of God. Do you understand? 3, 2, 1. Hallelujah. So I said, understand Christ and the rest will follow. The first word was understand. By English dictionary, understand means to perceive the meaning, significance, or nature of something. Do we agree?
Yeah.
And the two words, key words that we're taking from our topic this month for this conference that we're having is identity, yes, and purpose. And in the dictionary, by dictionary definition, by dictionary standards, identity means the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. Yes? And then purpose means by dictionary definition, the reason for which something is done or created or for which it exists. Yes? So when I say understand Christ, yeah, to perceive, to understand the meaning and significance of Christ, then the rest which is identity and purpose, the rest is the fact of being, the fact of what we are, the fact of who we are, why we do what we be, it will follow. And what else will follow? Purpose. And what is purpose? The reason for why we do those things. Do you understand? 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And it was, I think a few years ago, I read a book. It was just a normal book. It was by an author called James Clear. It was Atomic Habits. Does anyone know the book, Atomic Habits? 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
A very powerful book. If you haven't read it, I'd advise reading it. It's a very easy book, around 200 pages. It shouldn't be too tough to read. In the book, he compares identity to goals, yeah? Identity and goals, there's a difference between the two. And there's an excerpt that I took out. I don't want you to focus on the first sentence, but what comes after. It says, the ultimate form of intrinsic motivation is when a habit becomes part of your identity. Ignore that part, but here's what I want you to listen to. It's one thing to say I'm the type of person who wants this, yeah? It's one thing to say that I'm the type of person who wants this. That's my goal, I want this. But it's a separate thing. It's very different to say I'm the type of person who is this. Do you understand? I'm very different. It's two very different things to say I want this, I am this. Yeah? One is a goal and the second is an identity. Do you understand? I'm going to break it down because I don't think you understand. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I want you to look at the youth, all the women in the youth. Boys, sit down. Angela, everyone. All the girls, stand up. All the girls in the youth, stand up. That's in this place. Girls, stand up. I want us to just choose one girl. One girl, call her out. One of them. Anybody want to choose one of them? Ebun, come out. Everybody sit down. Come out and stand there for me, please. Because I don't think you understand. Let's give her a round of applause. So when we look at Ebony, what do you see? Turn around and let them look at you. Very beautiful, yes?
Yes.
Very pretty, yes?
Yes?
Very gentle, yes?
Yes.
Do we agree?
Yes.
Anybody disagree?
No.
All right, go and sit down. So let's say now you've seen this gentle, kind, peaceful, tranquil young lady who is blessed by and favored by God, yes?
Yes.
But then you go to her house late at night and she's sleeping. She puts one hand here, another hand here, leg here. Why are you laughing? Would you be shocked? 3, 2, 1? But why are we shocked? The question is, why are we shocked that such a gentle, peaceful, tranquil young lady can sleep like this? I'll be confusing, isn't it? I'm lost as to why. How can someone so peaceful and gentle sleep that way? Why? It's because her identity and your perception of her identity is rooted within everything she does, everything she executes in her own life. Not just from the way she talks, the way she sleeps, the way she walks, the way she carries herself, the way she walks around the church. You view her as pretty, as delicate, as tranquil, as calm. So when one thing she does is separate from that perception of her identity, you're shocked. Yes? You're confused. Yes? 1, 2, 3? Exactly. That confusion shows the power and the strength of identity. Yeah? And when someone has a weak identity, it means that identity within them does not translate to everything they do in their lives. Do you understand? I haven't asked you to open the Bible yet, so I'm happy that you understand. Yeah? I'm going to give one example so that you can really understand the dangers of having a weak identity. Yeah? I'm going to show you the dangers of what happens to talent and to success and happiness in someone's life when they're not rooted in a secure identity. Do we know Amy Winehouse? Yeah? 3, 2, 1? Hallelujah. Amy Winehouse was one of the most gifted musicians you will ever come across in your life. Yeah? By the age of 20, she released her debut album that went platinum. If you don't understand what platinum means, it means you sold over 1 million albums. Yeah? 1 million at the age of 20, 2-0. Yeah? By the age of 23, she released Back to Black, which is one of the best-selling albums of not this year, of not this decade, of the 21st century. Of the last 100 years, before some of us were born or in existence, she had the top-selling album, yeah? She won 5 Grammy nominations in one night at the age of 24, yeah? Record of the year, best artist, best newcomer, everything. She had the world at her feet. But what was the problem? You see, Amy Winehouse, her identity was built on applause. Her identity, her strength in her character was built on appreciation. Was built on when people admired her, when people wanted to uplift her and say, you're the greatest. But what happened when people didn't do that? We all know, yeah? So I don't need to say out. We know what happened when she wasn't applauded, when she wasn't loved by millions, when she wasn't admonished by all these people. Something that it consistently shifted from fame to criticism to emotional pain because that applause was not there. At 27 years of age, only 3 years after she won 5 Grammy nominations, she died because of what? Because of drugs. And all the success in the world, she had achieved it by 24, all the success in the world, it could not protect her because her identity was fragile. Do you understand? A weak identity. An identity that's not as rooted. An identity that has not touched every aspect of her life. It was weak. So that's why it couldn't take her to where she needed to be. Without a secure identity, success can kill you faster than failure will. Do you understand? That's number one. Number two, Tiger Woods. If you know Tiger Woods, let me say yes. Tiger Woods, yes? Hallelujah. So this one was different. From age 3 years in existence, 3 years, he was already on TV, putting with his dad on TV, playing with golf, yeah? By age 15, he was the youngest ever junior amateur champion in the whole of American history. Do you understand? By 21, he turned to a professional. He was a professional. At the age of 21, he had signed a $40 million contract with Nike. Do you understand the significance of doing that? 3, 2, 1?
Yes.
Hallelujah. At 21, he had also won the Masters. He had won it by 12 strokes, by 12 hits of the ball he had won it. That was the gap between him and his competition. There was grown men there, 35, 45, 55, that he was competing with, and he had bested all of them, every single one, yeah, by the age of 21. But what was the problem? Tiger was raised to perform. He was brought up to be a performer, but not necessarily understand the powers of performance beyond golf. When he left that golf field, when he was at home and he had this wife and this woman and all this money at a young age, and he didn't understand what to do, he had no more control. all that skill on a golf turf, all that skill on a golf platform, it translates to nothing in the real world. And why is that? Because he had no identity in who he was outside of golf. Do you understand? 3 weeks ago, I met a man called Will Antwi, a Ghanaian man, Will Antwi. Yeah? He's now the head coach for the under-19s for England football national team. Yeah? He said when he was a footballer, he played for so many different teams, Crystal Palace, all these teams, Grimsby, all the biggest teams. But he said after he left football, he was in depression because all of his life he had known that I was a footballer. Then when you retire and you can't play football anymore, you can't kick a ball the way I used to kick it, I'm no longer a footballer, so what am I? I'm nothing. Because your identity is rooted in one thing rather than identity which is rooted in God. Do you understand? Say hallelujah. So I want to give you this example now. Let's say I sent you into a corner shop and I said, go into that corner shop and buy what you want. What do you want? Not what I want. What do you want? Yeah? And you just wonder because you don't have any clue what you want. I haven't given you any instructions as to go and get this or to go and get that. You've gone on your own will, on your own whim to say, this is what I want. I don't know what I want. But you're wandering around and you're loitering because you have no purpose into why you've gone into that corner shop. You had no idea of what you wanted to get from that corner shop to that supermarket that you went into because I was the one that sent you there, but I sent you without instruction. Do you understand? 3, 2, 1. So we understand that if I send you there without an instruction and I've told you to go and get what you want, but you do not know who you are, how can you know what you want without knowing who you are? Does it make sense? So you have no idea of your identity. If you like sweets or you like chocolate, if you like tea or if you like coffee, if you like pink or you like white, you don't know your own identity. So when you go into a shop and I give you the request, get what you want, and you do not know who you are, how can you get what you want out of that place? Hallelujah. Now I'm going to give you another example. Praise the Lord. If I send you into a designer store, let me hear some designer names. What designers do you like? Youth. Give me designer. Nathan, give me a designer name. I know you know. Gucci. Anybody Gucci? Anyone likes Gucci? Gucci? No. Give us another one. Tommy Hilfiger. We like Tommy Hilfiger? Amen. Another one. Another one. Who? Valentino. Ah, we have a rich church. Praise the Lord. Valentino. Give me another one. Coach. I heard Coach. More. Balenciaga. Ah, daddy. Hey, he's taking us to another level. Yeah? Balenciaga. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. Michael Kors. Ah, mommy, you have talent too. This is why I know you're small. So is that, you understand? So we have so many things that we like. But say I gave somebody £1,000, yeah? And I say, go and buy a gift for a stranger, somebody you've never met. Go into one of these designer stores and go and get them something. Somebody you've never met. You don't know them. You've never seen them. You don't know what they look like. If it's a man, if it's a woman, if they're white, if they're black, if they're brown. We don't know anything about them. If they're tall, if they're short, if they're fat, if they're slim. You have no idea who that person is. But I've given you £1,000 and I've told you to go to your favorite designer store. Tommy Hilfiger, Coach, Michael Kors, Louis Vuitton, Gucci. Yeah, you've gone there and I've given you £1,000 and I said, buy a nice gift for somebody you've never met. What would you do? She was on daddy. But you'd have no idea of what to get them because you do not know who that person is. Do you understand? Do we agree? 3, 2, 1. 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah. We do not know who that person is. We have no understanding of that person's identity. Yeah? Identity. What they're shaped like, what they look like, what their taste is for, what their preference is. We have no understanding of who that person is. So how can we buy them a gift that is specific to that person with having no clue, no understanding of their identity? Yeah? And I haven't asked you to open your Bibles yet. Have you realized that your Bibles have been closed this whole time? Good. So when you open it, you can understand. Because if you don't believe me, we're going to go into the Bible so at least you can believe the Bible. Do you understand? Hallelujah. So that's what life is like without knowing Christ. Do you understand? Because you never find your purpose until you find who you are. When you're in that designer shop or that supermarket or that corner shop and you've been sent there to get what you want, or you've been sent there to get something for somebody that you do not know, you are there wandering around purposely, aimlessly. There's no purpose, there's no intention behind your presence in that place because you do not know who you are. You do not know who that person is, so you cannot fulfill any requests for that people. Do you understand? Do you agree? Hallelujah. And if you don't believe me, do you believe me? Church, do you believe me? Do you believe me? I can't hear you. Some people in the back, they couldn't believe me. If you don't believe me, open your Bible. Genesis 1:27. Because if you don't believe me, you'll believe the Bible, yes? If you don't believe me, you'll believe the what? Hallelujah. Genesis 1:27. Please, I just need one person to read for me. Wherever you are.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Should I go on?
Hallelujah. Let's clap for mommy. Please, round of applause for mommy. So God created man in his own image. Yeah? Since I've been talking for 10 minutes now, yeah? We talked about identity and knowing who we are, knowing ourselves, yes? And how you cannot go into a supermarket and buy something for yourself if you do not know who you are. And many people, they go on a chase, a circle, yeah? A roundabout that never ends, trying to find their identity because they haven't read that scripture. And when mommy read that scripture, she said, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God. Okay. So that means we are not self-defined. We are God-defined. Do you believe me? Are you sure? Do you believe me? There's some people in the back that don't believe me. Open your Bibles again. Jeremiah 1:5, please. Jeremiah 1:5, please open your Bible. If you don't believe me, you believe the what? Hallelujah. Jeremiah 1:5. I need somebody to read for me, please.
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations.
Here's another round of applause. Hallelujah. So that's two scriptures that we've read so far. One was Genesis 1:27. It says, so God created man in his own image. Yeah? Two, Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I already knew you. So you were known and appointed before your talents, before your jobs, and before your goals existed. So to say what I've said from the start, because I don't know if everyone's been listening, yeah, we have an identity that leads our purpose, which defines what we're supposed to do in our lives, yes? But if we do not understand God, how can we understand who we are? Do you understand? Because if you don't believe me and we believe the Bible, and the Bible said, so God created man in his own image, that means we must first understand the image of God before we can understand ourselves. Do we agree? One, two, three. Because the image of God is ourselves. We were formed in the image of God. We were sculpted to be like God, to act like God, to have the same identity, to follow the identity of God. So if we fail to understand God, if we fail to look like God, if we fail to understand the image, the way he behaves, what he wants and what he needs and expects of us, how can we understand what we need or expect of ourselves? Hallelujah. You see, what I wrote down here is like, imagine him waking up in the morning and you see God is so great, because me and daddy didn't even speak about the interlude that he was going to have, but I prepared this, and while preparing this is what I wrote down. Imagine you wake up in the morning and you're trying to get ready without a mirror. Let's clap for that, because I don't think you understood how God is working. I said, we haven't communicated. This is just God working. Imagine waking up in the morning and trying to get ready without a mirror. And you can't guess how your head... Mommy said, you can't do that. Can anyone do it? Even us men, we can't do it. You like to pretend that we don't do it, but we all know we do it. Yeah? So imagine waking up in the morning and you're trying to get ready without a mirror. You can guess how your hair looks, how your clothes fit, or whether there's something on your face, but you're working under assumptions. You're taking a guess. You're just throwing a ball into the park. You don't know where it's going. Yeah? Not with truth. Without a mirror, you're relying on a feeling rather than a reality. There's a difference between a feeling and a reality. Do you understand? So now let's apply it spiritually. Yeah? If God's image is the mirror, God's image is the mirror. From Genesis 1:27, God's image, we're made in his image. If God's image is the mirror through which we're meant to understand ourselves, if we were created in his image, then knowing God is essential to knowing ourselves. Do you understand? Do we agree? Hallelujah. So when you don't know what the mirror looks like, you start to imitate other things because you cannot see the mirror and you cannot see reality. You can only go off your feelings. Yeah? And sometimes in life, it's like, that mirror will be clear. Maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that mirror was clear. And it was easy to see God. It was easy to understand the image of God. It was easy to see what God looks like, what he feels like, how he acts, what he wants from us. But then things come with that. The challenges of life, they get you. Maybe it's tragedy. Yeah? Maybe it's trauma. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's loss. Maybe it's financial ruin. Maybe you lost your job. Or maybe your business collapsed. Or maybe you lost your friend. Or you lost your family. You lost your husband. You lost your wife, your sister, your brother. And those tragedies, what they do is they cloud that mirror. Have you ever been in a bathroom and you're... I mean, I like to bath with hot water, scalding water. I like it. But then you come out and you look at the bathroom mirror. What can you see? You see nothing, right? And that's what the tragedies of the world do to us. The challenges of the world, they cloud the mirror. So we can't see that mirror anymore. It makes it harder to see the image that is God's image, yeah? The image that we're supposed to follow, that we're supposed to be aligned with. When we look into that mirror and I see, this is what I'm supposed to look like because God is that mirror, but then life is clouding it. The challenges of life are clouding it. Then that's where the challenge arises for ourselves. That's where we test our own strength. We look into ourselves and are we strong enough to wipe that mirror clean? Yeah, so we need to understand that that's where the strength comes with. That's where our identity is clouded, is blocked, is hard to see through because it's being clouded by the things of life and of the world which are challenging us on a day-to-day. 3, 2, 1. Okay, I'm happy everyone's still awake because you're going quiet on me. I don't want you to go quiet. Hallelujah. So when we don't understand what that mirror looks like, you start to guess. You start to go off feelings. You start to go off trends of culture. You act like your trauma. You act like your social media feed. And just like a fun house mirror, like Daddy said, when you turn the mirror around, those reflections, they distort your identity. They distort the image of God. They don't show the true image. How many times is it that you've lost someone in your life and you look to God and you're angry at your God and you say, God, who are you? God, is this a God that wants me to respect him, to love him, to follow him, to listen to his commandments? Because you're questioning God because you've been challenged by the realities of the world. So that you let it distort the image, you let it distort the mirror, you let it cloud up the mirror. So what we need to do is wipe that mirror clear so that we can see the image of God. When your mirror becomes dirty, becomes cloudy, they make you think that you're not good enough. That you need to prove your worth, that you have to achieve to be accepted. But when you read into God's words, when we open the Bible, what we do is we wipe that mirror down, we wipe it clear. And we learn how to love when the world says cancel. Yeah? We learn how to walk with integrity when shortcuts are everywhere. We learn how to speak and how to treat others, how to live not as the world says, but as he designed you to do. So let God's image be a mirror for your soul. When you study his name and you open his word and you open the Bible to look into him, his compassion, his justice, his truth, you will start to see how we are meant to live. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want to call my volunteers. Micaiah, Josh, come up. I'm going to get all the youth interactive. So let's give them a round of applause. Let's give them an energy. Take one pen here. Take another pen here. I'm going to pose them one challenge, very simple challenge. Take the pen and draw me a picture of an apple. Yeah? Everyone, let's count for them. Let's count for them. Very simple, just a quick one. Quick one. All right. Quick, I'm going to give you time. It doesn't need to be very good. I just want you to understand so I can know that you know what an apple is. Yeah? Good. Five. Count with me. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Amen. Clap for them, please. Good. You can put the pens down and just put them there, yeah? Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. All right. This is their drawing. You guys can sit down. Don't worry. Thank you. Well done. Well done. Clap for them one more time. Hallelujah. This is their drawing. What do you think of it? Be nice. Be nice. What do you think of it? It's very nice, Avi. Hallelujah. We see. Everyone sees it. It's nice. Do you agree? Yeah? All good. And I said before, if you don't believe me, you should believe the what? All right, but there's no picture of the Bible, of an apple in the Bible. So I brought something instead. So you see, I won't be prepared. I'm prepared. What's this in my hand? Okay, so there's a similarity between the apple and the what? And the drawing. Do we agree? 3, 2, 1. Hallelujah. So my question is, did they see this apple before they started drawing? They didn't. Are you sure? You promise? So are you sure that they didn't see the apple? But then how did they know how to draw the apple then? Because they know. It's in their memory, right? It's in their heart. They've seen an apple before. It might even be in their subliminal messaging that every time they walk into a corner shop, they just see an apple. Maybe they don't buy it, but they see the apple. They've seen it on television in a show. They might see another apple. Yeah? We agree. But if I ask them to bite that apple and to taste it, they'll say it's sweet. Will we agree? But they haven't bitten it yet. So how do they know it's sweet? Because they've bitten it before. Yeah? And they know how it feels. They know how it should taste. They know what it looks like, the color that it should be, if you ask them that. And that's all before they've even seen one apple. Do we agree? 3, 2, 1. Hallelujah. So they drew that apple from memory. Not by seeing one, from memory. And what we need to understand is that it was so easy for them. It wasn't a challenge. Within 10 seconds, they drew this picture of an apple because they've seen it so frequently. They understand the image of it so easily. It's become ingrained in their psyche, ingrained in their memory, that this is what the apple looks like. But you know what an apple looks like because you've seen it, you've tasted it, you've handled it. But do you know God the same way you know an apple? That's my question. Because some of us, we've walked into a supermarket, into a corner shop. We've walked to go and buy an apple, to buy apple juice more times than we've opened the Bible. Is that fair? Some of us, we've gone into the corner shop to go and buy new shoes. We can name all the new shoes before they even come out. It's 22nd of December, this shoe is coming out. 31st of December, this shoe is coming out. We know that this song is coming out. We know Burna Boy is having this concert on this day. We know it. Let's not be shy, we know it. There's some things that we're experts in. The human brain is so incredibly powerful that some people can memorize whole chapters of books. Some people, they can comprehend, you know, pi, the number 3.142. They will know it. So some of us, we've exposed ourselves to things as simply as an apple more times than we've exposed ourselves to the person who created us. And everyone, we stand here and we call Jesus Christ, we call God our Father. Yeah? Do you think you should know an apple more than you know your own father? Let me know. Do you think you should know an apple more than you know your own mother? The person that feeds you, that creates you, that breeded you, that gave you life, that gave you clothes when you were cold, and a house to sleep in and a bed to lay your head when the streets were unsafe. Do you think you should know them more than you know an apple? Yes or no? So then my question is, if God is our Father who art in heaven, you know, hallowed be thy name, is the kingdom come that will be done in earth as it is. You understand the power of God, yeah? The might of God, the creation that he's put before us, the gift of life that he continues to give us, that God continues to give us. We understand the magnitude of that, but some of us will know an apple better than we will know our own Father. Is it okay? Is it better? So my question to us is then, when we're having an identity crisis where we don't know where we are and we're questioning and we're looking to this person, looking to that person for an answer as to why we're having a crisis within our identity, is because some of us know an apple more than we know our own God. Some of us know an apple more than we know the own person that created us. Hallelujah. A lot of us have walked into the supermarket, we've gone into that fruit section, we've closed our eyes more times than we've closed our eyes to be in reverence with God. Some of us have done these things. We're more experts in what carpet or what color clothes I want to wear for this party than I've opened the Bible. You've taken more phone calls to go and buy Asher A.B. before you've opened the Bible to look into it, to read that this is my God, to understand him. And that's the questions we need to ask ourselves truly. How much of an effort are we giving to the other things in our lives separate to the person who gives us life? Have you ever heard the saying, don't bite the hand that feeds you? How many times have we bitten the hand that feeds us then? A lot of the time, we're not even looking towards the hand that's feeding us. And if we don't have food in our stomachs, what will happen? We will die. Do you understand? So if someone is feeding me here, but I'm looking over there, I can't eat. And I'm so distracted by the things of the world. I'm so distracted by this concert. I'm so distracted by these shoes. I'm so distracted by this woman, by this man, by this place, by this money, by this job, by this career, that I can't even look back to the person that's feeding me. Then inside, I'm dying. You might not die physically in this realm, but spiritually, that spirit is dying, is dwindling away. Do we agree? So if we were made in his image, and the more we know his image, the more we understand how we were created to think, the more we understand how we were created to live, the more we understand how we were created to behave, to believe, to understand, to communicate with each other. But without understanding, without facing the hand that's feeding us, without looking to understand and to learn more about the image of Christ, those things become impossible for us. Hallelujah. I want to link back to what I said before. We talked about three people earlier. We talked about Amy Winehouse, Tiger Woods, and another man called Will Antwi. Yeah? You see, we are predestined to conform to the image of God. Yeah, our true identity is not in self-discovery. You'll see it on YouTubers and people saying, oh, I need to go and do this and walk into the mountain so I can know who I am. I need to achieve this and do that and be this person in my life before I can know who I am. I need to make £10 million and be this person and be admired by all these people before I know myself, before I understand who I am. But our true identity is not in self-discovery, it's in Christ's conformity. There's a difference, not self-discovery, but in Christ's conformity. Understand that there's an image, there's a mirror image as to what we're supposed to align ourselves with, but we're continuously looking away from that image to discover. That's what they'll call it, to discover who you are. But it's funny because the person that you are today, you'll discover another one next week. So how many people are you going to discover within yourself when you're only one person? A lot of us, we're Nigerians, so we maybe have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 names. But if you discover one person every week for 7 weeks or 8 weeks or 9 weeks, that's only 9 weeks, 9 different people we've already discovered it. That's enough for our names. But it seems that every new week I need to discover another person within myself. Well, my mom only gave me that one name. The name is written down. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't believe me, you'll believe the what? If you don't believe me, you'll believe the what? Please, Romans 8:29. Because maybe some people aren't believing me, so we open the Bible so you can believe the Bible. Hallelujah. If anybody's there, please. 8:29.
For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Please, a round of applause, please. Hallelujah. So, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed, yeah? To the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Now, focus on the first part, yeah? I'll read it slowly. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Yeah? To be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Do we agree? 1, 2, 3?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So I just said something before. I told you that there's a difference between finding identity in self-discovery and finding your identity in Christ's conformity. Yes? Hallelujah. So in that scripture, that's what it tells us to do, that he also predestined to be conformed, Christ's conformity. Conform to the image of his son. Who's his son?
Jesus.
Say it again. Who's his son?
Jesus.
So the difference that I've made clear there between self-discovery and Christ conformity. So if you didn't believe me, I hope you believe me now, because it doesn't mean that I read this Bible. Yeah? So I'm not lying. Am I telling the truth? Thank you. So God, he also predestined to be conformed in the image of his son. So the way we find ourselves and our identity isn't through self-discovery or trying to look to this thing or go and do this thing to know who I am, but it's through conformity to Christ and the way Christ behaves, to the image of Christ, to the image of his son. Your identity affects everything, yeah? Like I brought Ebuma earlier, I said her identity and your perception of her identity affects how she will talk, yes? How she will talk, 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
How she will work, 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
How she will spend, 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
How she will walk into a room, 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
And how she will love others around her, 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
So you see, it's ingrained in every part of our identity. You know, sometimes you can look at someone, the way they dress or the way they clean themselves, their hygiene, and you know how much money is in their bank account. Am I wrong? Or in fact, if you don't know how much money the bank has, that's too specific. You know the type of person they are when it comes to spending money. Yeah? But it has no correlation how they've dressed or how they carry themselves to how they should spend money when they are giving money. But for some reason, we know. Because that identity affects every aspect of your life. And if it doesn't, it affects every aspect of how you're perceived as an individual. Hallelujah. I know my time is going. Media, I can't see the screen, so that means you want me to stay here. I'll stay here till 8 p.m. Nobody will go home. Hallelujah. So we have three scriptures. Please, so three different people, open your Bible. Number one, 1 John 3:1. 1 John 3:1. Then the second one, 1 Peter 2:9. And the last one, Ephesians 2:10. Hallelujah. I just need the first person. You got one? So I have 1 John 3:1. Please ready it. 1 Peter 2:9. Please ready it.
1 John 3:1 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him."
Hallelujah. Now, 1 Peter 2:9, yeah?
"But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light."
And now Ephesians 2:10, because my time is going, so I'll
conclude. Ephesians 2:10, mm-hmm. It says, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them, brought near by his blood."
Hallelujah. So from those three scriptures, we understand that we're not just saved, we're adopted. Yeah, we're adopted to that image that we've spoken about today. Two, we are not just cleansed, we are called to be this. So it's not a thing of cleaning up your act to become closer to God, to be replicate the image of God. It's to understand that this is within you, that calling is within you. It's not something that you need to change to become this person. This person is already there. You understand that calling is there. Number three, you are not just forgiven, you are equipped. There's a difference between forgiven and equipped. You're equipped with everything you need to replicate this image, to align yourself with the mirror, which is God. Do you understand? 3, 2, 1. So, to close, when you know Christ, you stop chasing validation from others, you walk in purpose. Because I said at the start, the topic from the start was understand Christ and everything else will follow. Yeah? So that means when you know Christ, you stop chasing validation, you stop looking to this person as, I need this person to respect me or to look at me like they like me. Because we are walking in my purpose. I'm walking without distraction. I've walked into that corner shop and I know this is what I want. I'm going to get what I want. I'm paying and I'm walking out. Because I have intention behind everything I do when I know Christ. So we don't chase validation. We don't look around and wonder. We walk in purpose. Hallelujah. And when you know Christ, depression cannot define you. Money cannot measure you. And failure cannot name you. Hallelujah. Let's all rise to our feet. A round of applause for God in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I know my time's up, so I just want to close us in one prayer quickly. I want us to bow our heads and be in a moment of reverence. Close your eyes and speak to your Father, and don't look at anybody. Look into yourself. Understand that that identity, that image of Christ is within you. So you shouldn't be looking around for that image. You should look within yourself for the image. And we say, Lord, help me to see you clearly so I can see myself rightly. Strip away every false identity, every lie I've believed, and yet your image be the mirror I live by in the mighty name of Jesus. Prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, in the beautiful name of Jesus.
Help me to see you as you are, through the mirror of your word, in the name of Jesus. Help me to see you as you are, O Lord. Through this conference, O Lord, open our eyes to see you as you are. Because before we know ourselves, we want to know you. O Lord, help us to see you as you are. Let us understand Christ through this conference in the name of Jesus. That every other things that others are running after, we start chasing after us. In the name of Jesus.